Welcome back to the Photography Basics podcast. Phil, Will, and Sam, we are here to help you understand how to take better photos. And we've so far covered the main ways that you can adjust use your camera to adjust exposure. And we're putting it all together in this episode on what we'll call the exposure triangle. You may have seen this sort of graphic, this visualized, if you've looked up things about exposure and photography, but we have one on Photography and Friends website where the triangle doesn't really mean anything other than there's just these three things that you're adjusting and trying to balance out to get a properly exposed image and also the creative shot that you want. So I'm just going to throw a situation at you guys. And you guys can kind of talk through what you would be thinking about and adjusting. So easy one. You're out in the middle of the day, bright sunlight. What do you think your settings are? You're shooting a portrait.
You want to go first? You want me to go first?
You can go first.
I would say if I was shooting a portrait, I typically would shoot at ISO 400, f-stop 4 or 5.6, and then a shutter of like 250, 200.
And is that okay? So that's, I mean, that sounds, that's
very specific. Bold. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a bold bet right there. I think beginners are like, how the heck would you know those are your settings? But from your experience in bright sunlight, that's kind of what you think would be a properly exposed image.
So here's my experience of doing photography for over like almost 20 years at this point. But it's been 20 years. And coming from film, sunlight is really bright, and you guys will figure that out when you start getting out there. So I started with the 400 ISO. I always start my triangle at ISO because it depends on which camera I'm shooting. And it will give me my information for settings later. I picked 400 because that's usually like where I start. That's like a safe bet. 100 if it was like super bright, which is probably where I should have gone in the first place. I bet if I would have gone out in this situation, 400 probably would have been a little too high. So 400 is a good place to start. I picked an f-stop of an f4 because I think my 85 millimeter lens, which I would normally shoot with, looks great at f4. Mm-hmm. And if I go any higher than that, I'll get more things in focus, which I don't want for a portrait. And if I go any lower than that, it's already super bright outside. So an F4 seems like a good place. See where I'm going with this? And then shutter, I just kind of threw out there 200, 250 felt like a good place.
So you might just use the shutter to kind of hone in those final tweaks.
Exactly.
To how bright or dark it is.
Right. So that's why I'm so flimflansy on the shutter. So when I got out there, it would flim one way or flamsy the other way. I don't know.
Exactly.
So if it was too bright, obviously I would make my shutter value go up. I would shoot at like a 500th of a second or a 1,000th. If I felt like it was too dark, I would go down to 100 or 80.
Okay. So Sam, how would you flim flam?
As Will's talking, you know, it's a very intuitive, I've been shooting a long time type of, it's how he thinks is in that way. There's science behind all this though as well.
Science.
If you, an F4 to F5.6 is a stop of light. Mm-hmm. And if you increase your ISO 100 to 200 to 400 to 800, each of those is a stop of light. And so depending on how you want to do this, there's the 70-16 rule, which is, the idea is that at f16, you shoot ISO 100 and shutter speed 1/100th in bright sunlight, and that will give you a properly exposed image. And for each stop, you will bring that down.
You heard that?
No. Yeah, it's a thing. And so,
but who would shoot a portrait at f16?
Exactly. So you come down to f4.
Oh, yeah, you could do that.
So f4 to f5.6 to 8 to 11 to 16 is 5 stops. You would then increase your ISO 2 stops of light in your shutter. You could get really mathematical with this.
How close was I?
You're pretty spot on.
Oh man.
You're pretty spot on. Now I was just out on a camping trip, and I actually did, and I love the look of it, was F1.4, because I'd love to shoot portraits with my 35 millimeter. So F1.4, get this depth of field. ISO was at is between 100 and 200, and it was a 1/8,000th shutter speed. And I was on bright daylight, and that was giving me a really, because f1.4 is just so much light coming in. Will's over here trying to do math, but
I'm trying to do the math and see if my equation, because that's the crazy thing about exposure and the exposure triangle, right? This is really good because the Sunny 16 rule, you can get the same exact exposure if you change all the settings in a different manner, is right. What Sam's trying to say.
Yeah.
So like the math, I was trying to figure out how close I was to my math being the same as the Sunny 16, but so I didn't want it to be a 16.
You can
I wanted
get
it to
the same exposure, but the photo would look different.
Right, exactly. Drastically and that's and I would choose the f-stop because I don't want lots of things in focus. I want the background to be bokeh-y and blurry and and nicer.
Right, and you're starting this mindset with f-stop.
Yeah,
because that is for you, especially with portraits. That's the key thing. Is the f-stop is going to affect that image the most. So long as, and we're outdoors in this scenario, you have enough light.
Right.
All right, I got another scenario. You guys are tasked with shooting a night soccer game, a little bit low light situation.
Okay.
Got some light, but a little bit lower at light. It's not bright daylight. Or, we'll say golden hour. The sun's setting.
Oh, I like this.
The lights are turning on, and you're trying to capture
mixed lighting.
Nice. You're trying to capture sports action. What do you do?
I'm sorry, sir. I can't take on this job. I have a prior engagement.
ISO 1600 F8 and 1/500th of a shutter.
So that's
too dark.
Too dark?
Oh, maybe not.
ISO 3200.
You might have to boost your ISO. I don't know. But so that's where you're deciding you need a faster shutter speed because you got to get the motion sharp.
Yeah.
You need a deeper depth of field. So you can't go like an F2.8. So you're at an F8 and you're boosting your ISO because you just know that you're going to need
to compensate.
Yeah. You need more light. Yeah. You need a more sensitive sensor to increase the exposure. And
Now, something we're not talking about here that does make a big difference. The only reason I would say an F8 in sports is because I would assume that I'd be using a 400 millimeter lens. At which point, I'm still going to get depth of field. I'm still going to have blurred backgrounds, but the subject I'm shooting will be nicely in focus.
Well, why will you still have blurry backgrounds?
Because I want to have the look.
Yeah. But so why are you still getting it if you're shooting an F8?
Because I'm shooting out 400 millimeters.
So what? What does that mean?
Well, I don't know if we're talking about focal length. Well, we haven't.
You're bringing it up as a variable. You have to explain why. We've only talked about exposure in this podcast.
Are we talking about depth of field later?
It brings up a good point.
We're going to talk about composition, perspective, angle of your lens. We're going to talk about depth of field a little bit more in the next sort of section of this podcast. But the basics of what you're saying is
he's like a long lens. The longer the lens, the less things are in focus. It's another thing that affects focus. Mm-hmm. And Sam knows that. So even if he were to shoot at because in my head, I was like, oh, I would shoot at a 5.6 or a 4, you'd be fine. But you won't, because a 400 millimeter lens will affect your depth of field just as much as an f-stop would in some cases. So he's compensating by shooting at an f8 to make up for that because he wants more in focus.
Right. So how the f-stop being more open, a smaller number, that affects your depth of field the same way as the longer or more telephoto lens affects your depth of field. Both give you more or a shallower depth of field. But we'll get into all that more later. For me, though, the sports.
That's awesome because the exposure triangle is important, right? These are these three variables, but there are external outside variables that will affect how you pick your variables on your exposure triangle. Like a long lens, for instance, or shooting directly into the sun, or a tripod, or there's these external things that will affect your decisions in the triangle.
Yeah, and I do think it's important to say with the physical camera, the aperture is in the lens, right? That's the first thing that the light's coming through. You then have the shutter, which is controlling how much light comes in, and then you have the sensor. Now, the only other physical element that you have a sort of decision to make there, with your camera at least, is that choice of the lens. And that focal length is going to have an impact of, and we've talked about it, you know, certain kit lenses will be 3.5 to 5.6. You have, you know, set f-stops you can use. The focal length is just as important within all that for the creative aspect. But in the exposure world, the focal length won't make an impact on your exposure.
Yeah. Now, to kind of wrap this up, what we're trying to do is teach people how to expose properly, or whether you want it darker or brighter, that's also a creative decision. Mm. But basically, how you can expose an image to your liking with these three settings, basically. But we also have a fourth tool in our belt that you might want to use, and that's artificial light that you have, whether that's a flash or continuous lighting. And so I'm going to throw another situation. You are a portrait photographer in a studio setting. So you have all the lighting available to you that you want. So what are your ideal settings for that situation?
All the light in the world?
Well, all the light that a typical lighting kit could provide. Yeah.
See, in that case, I know that I can battle against light a little more, I don't know, with a little bit more ability. So I would say it's most important to me, if I'm doing portraits, to have a clean image. So at this point, since I know I have light, I would put my ISO as low as humanly possible. So 100 or 200. Depending on the type of lighting source, I don't know if this is part of the scenario, if it's static light, my shutter wouldn't necessarily matter, because I'll probably also have a tripod in a studio. But if I'm using a flash or a strobe, depending on what camera you have to be at a specific shutter for syncing that flash or strobe. So I don't think we talked about this in shutter, but if you're trying to sync to a speedy flash, you have to be at your shutter sync with it, which is typically around 200 or 250 for most cameras. So now I've locked in ISO and I've locked in shutter. Now I can kind of pick and choose my f-stop. And again, this goes down to depth of field and what I feel like I want. And because, like, you're talking about this fourth variable with lighting, I can make the light brighter or I can make it darker, right? Yeah. So now I have that variable, right? So if you're using a shutter or a flash or whatever, I can make it more intense or less intense, and based on what I've decided to have my settings on my camera. I think that's why, like, editorial photography and, like, magazines and billboards, they pick every setting they want and then they use the light to manipulate it to the setting that they want. They won't, you know, it's almost like you're playing God. Like, you can decide when the sun comes up, how powerful it is and what direction it's coming at. And you decide what your camera setting is. But that's in a totally controlled space with the right lighting tools.
And I will say, one, in the concept of having complete control of light, and I think as you learn, you know, going out into the world and using natural light, you learn sort of the time of day you want to shoot in and the environments and how to use that to the best of your ability. But especially with digital, something I'm always watching for is that nothing, typically, unless I want direct lens flares, but typically in the studio environment, I don't want anything overexposing. I will make sure that even if I have a bright source and I have a lot more light on one side of the face or whatever it is, I want information and I want to be able to have that information in the skin, and I won't overexpose anything. And then even if things are falling off into the shadows, I know how much I can bring that out in post. Mm-hmm. So obviously if I had complete control with lighting, I would just make sure nothing's going way too far off into the shadows and nothing's going, you know, overexposed. But I think that then is another element of this exposure game of contrast and how bright to how dark is your frame, and how, you know, some people like really high contrast. They want the side of the face to fall off and be completely black, or they want, you know, bright highlights and the hair sort of disappearing into this sun-like, you know, aura. And those are things that are creative decisions that you just sort of have to choose. I personally, though, always like to have some information in the highlights, Because with digital especially, those are gone if you overexpose.
Yeah.
Shadows, you can bring up and make look better after the fact. But yeah.
And I think going back to something that maybe should have been mentioned way back at the beginning of this section about exposures, for beginners, when you're looking at your digital camera, there's typically going to be an exposure meter in your viewfinder or on the screen on the back of your camera with a little notch that will move up or down depending on how exposed or underexposed or overexposed you are. And your camera is trying to tell you to expose to a very middle exposure where, without going too much into detail, your general frame, your general photo is going to be properly exposed. And I think what Sam was just talking about is you might be in a situation where you're telling your camera you want it to be brighter than that or darker than that. And so that's where we get a little bit more creative. And even if your camera is saying, oh, well, it's going to be darker, it's going to be underexposed, that might be exactly what you want, or overexposed or whatever, right?
Right, exactly. I was actually just up in Yosemite shooting a sunrise. So I had the sun coming straight at us, but it was behind the mountain. So I was taking an exposure, two stops underexposed, one stop at exposure. I was doing bracketing, right? And mm-hmm. So I was able to get information in the darkest shadows while also getting information in the highlights. But in a single frame, it's so contrasting, it'd be really hard to do that. It's hard to know what the right exposure is there because you do have something so bright and something so dark. And by doing one that's more underexposed and one that's overexposed, you get information in both the highlights and in the shadows at that point. But that's a big part of exploring with your camera, testing, you know, trial and error. Even if you take a photo you like, trying it a little underexposed, trying a little overexposed to see then after the fact, oh, like this looks better, a little bit brighter. This looks better.
Yeah. And you mentioned bracketing. That just to explain what that could be is if, you, like you said, you're taking different exposures and you can actually combine them after the fact so that you have one image that has a more of the frame in exposed properly or exposed in a different way, right?
It has information of five photos in one.
Yeah.
But each of those five photos was taken at a different exposure.
Yeah.
And so the idea is that you're able to take a photo that's underexposed because there's dark, you know, darker parts in the image, in the frame. And then you're also overexposing and you can put them all together and get information basically in the two areas that if you took a single image, you couldn't get that, you know, everything in exposure.
Right. And so with the last thing we'll kind of touch back on with the exposure triangle and just practically speaking for trying to expose properly, we have the tools on our camera to do manual exposure, shutter priority, aperture priority. Will, how do these come into play with just the exposure triangle and trying to expose properly?
Yeah, so when deciding what we want to use as far as our variables in our exposure triangle, full manual, we'll have the choice to decide all three things, right? We can decide our f-stop, we can decide our shutter, we can decide our ISO. The other choices are basically us telling the camera to make some decisions for us based on our decision. Mm-hmm. So we talked about this in an earlier episode with aperture, right? So if we do shoot with aperture priority, which Sam and I do shoot a lot of aperture priority, mostly so I don't have to be making all the manual decisions all the time because I don't have time. I need to shoot. Mm-hmm. In this case, I will choose the aperture. That is the priority. That's where it comes from, like aperture priority. I will pick the priority aperture and the camera will then select the shutter and the ISO based on exposure and what the camera thinks is a good exposure. Mm-hmm. Same with shutter, right? So if I were in the shutter priority, I would decide the shutter. The camera would then decide the f-stop and the ISO based on good exposure. Now, this is going to get a little bit more complicated, and the next advanced setting would be talking about exposure compensation. Yeah. And basically that's us now telling the camera, okay, we're in aperture priority. I'm going to pick my aperture at an F4. You decide what the shutter and the ISO are, but I'm going to tell you right now, I want everything to be just a little darker or a little brighter than what you think is exposure. Mm-hmm. And that's basically telling the camera like, yo, like make a decision, but make it based on this other decision that I'm making. And that's usually represented by a plus and minus somewhere on your dials. Mm-hmm. And that can get a little complex in advance, but once you start to learn to use it, I find that being such a huge tool that I'm using constantly. Like I will tell the camera that I want everything underexposed by a stop or overexposed by a stop. You can still make decisions, but make sure you get to that, you know, point. And so that's something that you will learn to do in advance as you get on with your photography career and you start to understand that. A really cool way to learn this stuff is putting it in aperture priority, setting your camera up somewhere, and then just running through the apertures and seeing what decisions your camera makes in ISO and shutter and yeah. seeing how it affects it greatly.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, just as we get through this exposure stuff, if you're starting off, if you're, you know, getting to know your camera pretty well, but starting work with clients, like the most important thing is that you know how your camera functions. You know how you're going to be able to get the shot that you need to get. Because once you're working with clients, there's so many other factors and you want the camera to just get the shot that you need it to get in those moments. And so you need to know how to, oh, we're moving from inside to outside. I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. And you do this enough and you practice it enough on your own that it's become second nature. It's like, oh, we're going outside. I'm going click, click, click. Okay, like done thinking about the camera. Now it's time to just get the shot and move on to this next thing. And I think it's a really important thing, invaluable to practice all these, even if you don't necessarily need it right now, to know how to do it, to see the differences it makes, whether it's doing shutter priority, aperture priority, using exposure compensation, doing full manual, you know, seeing how these, you know, what ISO can you go to? What is too slow of a shutter speed? Like, they're all really great things to practice and begin to understand as a photographer.
I think it's like a big hurdle to get over as a beginner. But once you like fully understand each setting and how your, like you're saying, your particular camera works or how to get to those settings and change those settings, it's a game changer. And that's what we're trying mm-hmm. to do here with this Photography Basics podcast. And that this kind of wraps up this first sort of chapter, we'll call it, about exposure. And coming up on the podcast, we have sections about composition, which is next, and what goes into composing a great image. And then we'll move on to more of the storytelling of photography so that you can put it all together and get creative with understanding how to use your camera, how to set it up properly, and just, yeah, improve your photography. And if, you know, we hope this podcast has been really helpful. And if you want to take it to the next level, we're not going to put ads or anything on this podcast, but what we do, it's support. You support us by joining our courses. And we have the Photography and Friends website, photographyandfriends.com, where you can grab our photography masterclass or any of our other specific courses on all things from learning specific cameras like our Sony camera class or our Nikon camera class, or specific styles of photography like night photography or street photography, and so much more. And with any of those classes, which you can get for, you know, 10, 20 bucks, you get access to our student community online. You get feedback from instructors, feedback from other students, downloadable resources. You really can't beat the price, and it's one of the best ways to learn and improve your photography. So head over to photographyandfriends.com and enroll in the class. And if you can't do that, leave us a rating and a review. That's going to help us reach more people and support us too. So thanks everyone for listening. Thanks Will and Sam for being here, teaching us your skills. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks everyone.
See ya.